Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, where's my little music?
Well, sick of fighting with Lydia about the cops. By the way, you think it's easy being a cop? It ain't. Again, it may turn out these guys out there in Uvalde just were cowardly and scared. It may turn out that way, which is unfortunate. And you don't expect that from cops. But it ain't an easy job. And maybe now people will start to realize just how amazing our brave men and women are when they ran inside those buildings. They ran upstairs as the buildings were coming down. Maybe now they'll start to realize when they see the reaction in Uvalde, which these people are just human. They may have failed. They may have failed, but I hate bashing cops. Our next guest probably feels the same way. His father, one of the great police commissioners in the history of this city and state, Ray Kelly. Greg, of course, is a star on Newsmax TV, got a great show, 7 o'clock every night. He's a major star here at this radio station, 1 to 3 every weekday afternoon. And most importantly, he did serve our country. Memorial Day coming up on Monday, 1991 to 2000, AV-88. He was a pilot assigned to the Marine Attack Squadron. So he's a tremendous talent and a real hero as well. We're thrilled to have him on this pre-Memorial Day Friday, Greg Kelly. Greg, Sid, and Bernie, welcome back.
Hey, thank you so much. Beautiful words.
Well,
please continue.
No, you know, listen, we've been going back and forth, me and Bernie, with Lydia, before we get to your great service, the Memorial Day, about the reaction and the response. And it almost feels like the last couple of days, like the cops went in and shot these little kids. And listen, maybe they did a really poor job. Maybe they did, but I don't know, Greg. I just can't find, and Bernie's the same exact way, to keep piling on just doesn't seem right.
Well, I actually am very, very concerned about the police reaction, and we have to ask tough questions. We have to push it. We can't let these guys hide behind emotion, and, you know, we support cops, obviously, yeah, in total. But we all know that cops, like anybody, any other profession in the world, can screw up.
Yep.
From pilots to radio hosts to janitors, anyone can make a mistake. And systems can sometimes screw up. So look, after Columbine, everybody learned the lesson after Columbine in law enforcement. You don't wait for the SWAT team to show up. That's what they did. And it's one of the reasons why in the after-action reports, they figured out so many people died. Cops who initially arrived were reluctant to go inside until the heavy weapons arrived. And that was the big takeaway. You can't wait till the SWAT team gets there.
Yeah.
Now, they entered the school, but then they quickly withdrew. And I don't understand why they didn't go to the window. You know, every classroom in America has a window. That officer yesterday was deliberately trying to confuse the issue, was hiding things, hiding behind emotion, and hoping that we're all going to lose interest and move on. Now, here's why it's important. Now, we can't let this happen again. I've been seeing it happen more and more. It happened at the Pulse nightclub to some degree. It happened at Parkland. And too often I see this, even in the media, for whatever reason, it's different this time. Maybe because we have all those parents. You know, we don't want to seem like we're not supporting the cops. Well, this is the way you support the cops, I think. You got to ask, and by the way, this is a phenomenon we're seeing outside of New York. Mm-hmm. Your cops are they're less reluctant to engage. Mm-hmm. Something bad happened here, and we got to keep asking the questions and not let this thing blow over. Because the next time, I mean, if they can make the same mistake they made at Columbine,
yeah,
I mean, come on,
that's fair.
You saw my show last night. We showed, you know, testimonial after testimonial, law enforcement professionals saying. Yeah. Everything changed after Columbine. Well, it seems like everybody forgot. Last thing, all these Black Lives Matter protests and everything like that, I think we've made it very difficult for cops to focus on excellence. They've got to focus on just surviving, you know? They're trying to cancel cops.
Yep.
And now they've been taken away from training, you know, right away. Black Lives Matter in 2020, they said, we got to get the cops out of the schools. It's one of the first things they talked about. So No, there are lots of things to tackle here. It's not pleasant, but it's necessary.
Greg Kelly, our colleague here on 77 WABC, Marine Corps pilot, a veteran of the Marine Corps, flew a plane, landed on aircraft carriers. We'll talk about that in a minute, Greg, but just to back to this police officer, police appoint. You had Joe Biden in the White House the other day, 2 days after a massacre, signing the Police Accountability Act, all because it was the two-year anniversary of George Floyd. It was an inappropriate day to do that, and yet he did that, and he waxed nostalgic about the 2020 summer of hate, and like it was Woodstock, talking about how we united and all that stuff, and he trashed the cops. And then you had Barack Obama actually put out a tweet the same day talking about, well, let's not in the wake of this massacre, let's not forget George Floyd was killed 2 years ago. So the attacks on the police continue at the very top. They continue. I thought we were past that, but we're not. I thought it was disgraceful on Joe Biden's part. What do you think?
I agree. Everything about his conduct has been reprehensible for the most part. You know, that legislation or the executive orders he signed, I've been talking about it with some professionals I know, and it's all a joke. I mean, those things mean nothing. It's all, you know, career politician, look at me, I'm doing something, but they're doing absolutely nothing. It's all cosmetic. And by the way, it only applied to 15% of law enforcement, federal law enforcement, which is about 15% of law enforcement. So, and then to have that that little girl there, the daughter of George Floyd, you know, look, sorry, but the country lost its mind over George Floyd. The country overreacted to George Floyd.
Okay.
And back then, like perhaps in a different way today, people were afraid to point out, you know, well, wait a second, let's take a look at this. What really happened? You know, why is that cop so nonchalant? Why is he looking like that? And I was horrified. But then I found out some things. I found out that the old Minneapolis patrol manual, it was inactive then, it's not active anymore, actually authorized that maneuver. Then we found out that George Floyd had enough fentanyl in him to kill him. Then we found out that the cops actually let him out of the police car because he was having a panic attack and they thought he was going to die in the back of the police car. Then we see the initial autopsy report found no evidence of asphyxia. So, you know, the mob, we're becoming a mob rule country, and I'm not going along with any mob, I'll tell you.
No, either are we. And, again, on top of it, the guy, and I'll use this word, you don't have to, Greg Kelly, you're a much classier guy than me, he was a scumbag, a lowlife. The guy was arrested 9 times, put a gun in a pregnant woman's stomach. So while his death was sad, I'm not going to use tragic like the kids in Uvalde, while his death was sad and we're happy the cop is paying the price, he's the last guy that should be honored anywhere in this country for the life that he lived. Now, I'll tell you, listening and watching this Uvalde thing, and I'm going to be able to tie, because I'm a genius here, Greg, I'm going to tie your military service and the military to the shooting. We're talking about these cops maybe being cowardly and afraid. I'll go back to the movie Saving Private Ryan. There's one scene where the German guy runs up the stairs, and he gets in a battle. It was the most gruesome scene of the movie, actually, when he gets in a fight with a Jewish guy on the floor, and he slowly, slowly stabs the guy in the heart. You may remember he puts the knife and it goes down. And then the guy who just got killed, his partner is standing right there by the top of the stairs, has an opportunity to kill the German guy and doesn't do it. He just froze, just like the cops did in Uvalde. Had the opportunity, could have killed the German guy before he killed the Jew. He just froze. So my question to you is very simple. 10 years in the most difficult job in the world, a military guy, heroism at its very best. You ever get nervous? Like the cops may have done a couple days ago?
Oh, my gosh. You see me running around that radio station like a lunatic all the time. I'm a mess. Yeah, just because I and I was nervous at times in the military. I mean, just you know, but it's interesting you mentioned that movie because there are people out there and you don't know it. Even if you're in the military, you just don't know how you're going to react until real bullets are flying.
Right.
And it's almost a biological thing. It's almost, you know, you just don't know how you're wired. And look, I have been around when bullets are flying, and quite frankly, I was kind of impressed and relieved that I reacted and behaved appropriately. I'm not going to say brave. I mean, that sounds obnoxious, but I mean, I did my job and I did what I was supposed to do. This was, by the way, primarily as a journalist in Iraq when I was embedded. But I'm not ready to call these guys cowards. I think they may have had a flawed system. And you know, somebody on the radio actually called in. I think her name was Marianne from Connecticut. Said all the procedures in the world and protocol are great, but you can't let those get in the way of your instincts. And I think these guys let the procedures and the protocols possibly get in the way of their instincts. They knew better. They should have known better. So who knows?
No doubt about it. Greg Kelly, heard every day on 77 WABC from 1 to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. Greg, but I guess the question is, I think Sid was sort of alluding to this. Did you get more comfortable as time went on when you were landing these planes on this tiny, tiny little aircraft carrier in the middle of the ocean? Did you get a knot in your stomach beforehand, or did that subside after time?
I mean, during the daytime especially, I got pretty good at it, and I got comfortable doing it. But, you know, the very first time you land on an aircraft carrier, you do it by yourself. There's nobody sitting in the back seat. And that was a real moment. I'm like, can I do this? What's going on? And the ship really did seem literally too small. I mean, it was just too small. How do I fly off this thing? It's not big enough.
Right.
And, you know, you're treating it like a runway, but it's just not big enough to be a runway. I remember that feeling very vividly. Like, when is it going to be big enough for me to treat it like a runway? And it never really got that big. So, but I got to do it. I passed, and I did it a couple of hundred and something times. And I enjoyed the hell out of it. It's a lot of fun. But, yeah, at night it was very difficult and bad weather. And, it's like anything else. You get an obnoxious guest. You get somebody who goes rogue. You know, it just, you got to, sometimes it's easy. Sometimes you got to kick a little ass.
Right. Yeah. And not to minimize what you did. I mean, it's just an amazing feat. And again, just the height of courage. But a movie like Top Gun, for example, the second one just came out last week, or it's coming out this week, I forget, with Tom Cruise. I'm not even sure you saw the first one. But if you did, relatively realistic or not really?
Well, I did see the first one. I saw it with my father in Westbury, the Westbury Movie Theater, which still exists as an event space. And to be honest, I wasn't that crazy about the movie. It was very, heavy on music, and I thought it was, like a long music video. My father liked it more than I did. I didn't dislike it. I flew the plane that was in it, the A4 Skyhawk, the one that Tom Skerritt was flying, the Aggressors. I flew that plane in flight school.
Wow.
I am going to see the new one. The last one was not particularly realistic, all kinds of problems. You know, they're saying, remember how Tom Cruise gets in trouble because he goes down below the hard deck?
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Well, the entire movie was shot below the hard deck. I mean, the entire, they're all flying right by the ground so they could, that made no sense. I mean, a lot of things made no sense, but I appreciate that, quite frankly, Tom Cruise did this movie. From what I can tell, and I've been looking at some clips, they used real airplanes. You know, they didn't use animation. They didn't use CGI.
Wow.
You know, seeing a movie is like a cartoon these days. Even if it's not a cartoon, it looks like a cartoon. It looks like somebody did it on their Apple. So they used real planes. I'm excited to see it. I'm probably going to see it tomorrow morning.
Greg Kelly again on the Bernie and Sid Show. Greg, Sid mentioned that your dad, the longest serving police commissioner in the history of New York City. But he was a great police commissioner on top of everything else, saved a lot of lives. And, of course, the city is experiencing a crime surge. We just elected a new mayor here in New York. Do you see things getting better anytime soon? What are your views on what's happening right now?
Well, totally predictable. I knew I had grave concerns about Eric Adams. I've known of Eric Adams for decades. This guy's always been a phony. He has absolutely no ability. He has minimal intelligence.
Agreed.
He's an egomaniac. He's not a hard worker. And this, the tone is set from the top. Law enforcement's already under siege, delegitimized, almost canceled under de Blasio and Black Lives Matter summer, and all that stuff was glorified. people say, well, we want him to succeed, but he does not have the basic tools to succeed. He doesn't know anything. He was never really a cop. That's what you got to get. That people have to understand. And by the way, he was a captain. He was a bad captain, and he got out under a big cloud, and he was running around with Al Sharpton, literally,
yep.
For his career. So, you know, he's a bit of a racist, quite frankly. He's a shakedown artist. So he knows nothing, and there he is. So I don't know. You know, Curtis, and gosh, it's heartbreaking that Curtis is – it's great that he's with us, but I wish he were in City Hall. Curtis has mentioned a couple of times that this guy's going to probably be handcuffed, and that's my sense as well, to be honest. He's got big problems with his chief of staff, this guy named Carone. Big New York Times article about it last week. I'll give the fake news credit. This guy has massive conflicts of interest. He's pushing some silly lasso that the police department doesn't want. Eric Adams has been championing it since he was borough president. Why? Nobody knows. Well, you can guess. There seems to be some serious financial interest in this and a host of other things. So, look, quite frankly, you know, I don't condemn anybody, but I just know the guy, and I know he's not worthy of this position, and I hope he doesn't get to serve 4 years.
Yep, we agree, and we are equally as hard on Eric Adams every morning as you are every weekday afternoon. So finally, in the last 60 seconds, Greg, we had a buddy of ours, Tom Sullivan. He's running in South Queens for New York State Assembly. He ran for Senate a couple of times as well. He served in Iraq. He served in Afghanistan. He served in Kuwait. He also, by the way, dragged bodies out of the burning buildings on 9/11 and saved lives. And this guy, believe it or not, can't win an election in Queens. It's heartbreaking. But he talked about how on Memorial Day, when he was a little boy, his father, John, who your dad knows from the New York City Police Department, he would take him to local parades, and he'd meet World War I veterans, World War II veterans, and that's how he celebrated Memorial Day. Yes, he had a hot dog. Yes, he went to the beach. But he would actually take time out to speak to and watch some of our braver men and women. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's a beautiful tradition. Sounds like a very impressive guy. As for me, Memorial Day, there was always a parade in Garden City. And it's interesting. There's a real sense of community that unfortunately we've lost everywhere, but still there. And I heard this from Sebastian.
Maniscalco. Maniscalco.
No. there's a war correspondent named Sebastian somebody or other. And he talked about, he profiled how the PTSD that some suffered, by the way, it's overdiagnosed and it's talked about probably too much, but they felt safer in Afghanistan than Iraq because there was security at night and they were well guarded and nothing was going to happen. Generally, there was great security, but when you go home, there's no sense of community, no unit. You know, we're all on our phones, we're all isolated, and that's when the trauma kind of kicked in, or that's when the anxiety kicked in, because they really felt on their own and they missed the camaraderie. They missed the sense of safety, believe it or not. Anyway, so I think any parade is really a nice thing. I don't think any parade is a nice thing.
Be careful. In New York. BLM, right?
they screw up traffic. I mean, you know, there's too many of these things. We had one for Arbor Day last year.
Yeah. Too many. Sebastian Younger, by the way. Sebastian Younger.
Yeah, anyway. That's the guy. That's the very thoughtful guy.
Hey, listen, Greg, you're a great guy. You do a great job, 1 to 3, every weekday in 77 WABC. Listen, have a great weekend yourself, and thank you for your service as a Marine Corps pilot, for God's sakes. Thank you.
Hey, wow, you guys, what a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, buddy.
Real quick, you know what?
Yeah.
I used to park a vehicle next to your vehicle, the WABC that said Bernie and Sid on the side.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I used to park in the same garage on 32nd Street.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Two Penn Plaza.
Yeah, that was where the van was. Yeah, that was the original.
It was so cool. And to be colleagues with you, it's really great. Anyway, thanks, guys.
Thank you. That means a lot to us, too. Greg Kelly, 1 to 3 every weekday afternoon here on WABC. A terrific job, 7 p.m. every weeknight on Newsmax. He's really great, Greg Kelly. We'll take a short break. Hour number 4, Bernie and Sid coming right up.